This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. The U.S. official telling ABC News that the military conducted an airstrike today targeting a suspected drug vessel in the Caribbean. And ABC News has learned the three B-52 heavy bombers flew for hours over the Caribbean, less than 90 miles from Venezuela. A federal grand jury has handed down an 18-count indictment against former National Security Advisor John Bolton. Charges including unlawful transmission and retention of classified documents. Reaction in the Oval Office from President Trump.
I didn't know that. You told me for the first time, but I think he's, you know, a bad person. I think he's a bad guy. Yeah, he's a bad guy.
It follows the indictment of two other Trump rivals, New York Attorney General Letitia James and former FBI Director James Comey. The night before, Ukrainian President Zelensky returns for a meeting at the White House, President Trump on the phone with Vladimir Putin and announcing plans to meet up with the Russian president. This is ABC News. The search is on for a missing girl in Santa Barbara, California, who reportedly hasn't been seen in over a year. ABC's Alex Stone.
9-year-old Melody Buzzard has not been seen in about a year. She's homeschooled. School administrators contacted investigators because she had not checked in with school. Detectives can find no evidence of Melody being alive for the past year, according to Raquel Zick with the Santa Barbara County Sheriff's Office. Detectives want to know where she is now and if she's safe.
We are also trying to track where she has been for the past year.
They can't find anybody who has seen her for a year. They can't find any photos of her for the past 2 years. Her dad died years ago and mother has not led them to her. Alex Stone, ABC News.
More than 1 million tickets have been sold for the upcoming FIFA World Cup in North America next year. And while three host countries, U.S., Mexico, and Canada, were the top three customers so far, other countries include England, France, Colombia, Germany, Brazil, Spain, and Argentina also seeing steady stream of purchase of tickets. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stand-up comedian, Mr. Jim Flanagan.
Can I tell you my Culver's hack? I always get the kids meal because it's everything you want. I don't have children.
Right.
So I'm just pretending I have like a 9-year-old named James in the back of my car.
I'm not proud of this, but I'll go through a drive-thru like a Taco Bell. I'll act like I'm on the phone and go, what else did you want? Okay. But it's all just for me. It's like six tacos, nachos, Bel Grande. And I can mouth through all of that.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
Lose again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. Game 3 of the National League Championship Series is in the books. The Dodgers winning 3-1. LA's Tommy Edman hit a tie-breaking single off a hard-throwing rookie, Jacob Mizorowski, in a 2-run sixth inning, and the Dodgers beat Milwaukee to take a 3-0 lead in their NL Championship Series. The Dodgers now move to within one win of becoming the first defending champion to reach the World Series since the 2009 Philadelphia Phillies. Game 4 is tomorrow. In Los Angeles, only one of the 41 teams that overcame a 3-0 postseason deficit was the 2004 Boston Red Sox against the Yankees, sparked by current Dodgers manager Dave Roberts. Things went from bad to worse for the Brewers in the seventh inning when Jackson Chourio, taking a big swing, re-injured his right hamstring and had to hop off the field. Blake Perkins took over at bat with already two strikes and striking out. With Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy and isolated shower or two tonight, with lows in the mid-50s. Partly sunny tomorrow, a stray storm could pop up, highs in the upper 70s. Temperatures start to fall back for this weekend as we dry out. Currently at 62 degrees.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the Brewers game from last night, as well as the weekend ahead with Peter Rapine, a week in review, a humorous edition from E-Bomb's World. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck. Kevin Butenoff coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It's Thursday. That means Jim Santel, our friend and colleague and host of Amicus, a law review on Saturdays across the network from 9 to 11. He will be joining us. A number of really important cases in front of the Supreme Court right now. One in particular dealing with the what remains of the Voting Rights Act. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk to Jim Santel about that, as well as another decision a judge has halted for now. Mm-hmm. Trump's continuing purge of employees of the federal government during the shutdown.
Yeah.
So we will talk about that with Jim Santel, many, many, many other things. In hour number two, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, and seeing some of the reactions from Republican politicians, I think it's worth another discussion. The No Kings rally on Saturday.
You mean the Hate America, Can't Stand Anyone in America, Despise America rally?
If you're a Republican, that's what that is. Yes, we have a compilation of comments from Republicans about the people who are going to be attending Saturday's No Kings rally around the country. It'll be interesting, I think, to hear how some people are looking at this and really want to paint this.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, yesterday we spoke about this rally, and the estimated numbers are somewhere between 4 to 5 million across the country. I want to know those numbers. I have a feeling. I mean, I'm not going to say like double, triple, but it will. I mean, I can imagine the amount of people who are disaffected between the first one in June and now. I mean, we'll talk about it more, but this is going to be a very interesting day. And
if you're planning on going to a No Kings rally, mm-hmm. we would love to hear from you.
Yes.
Again, we're going to start off hour number two with that right after the 10 o'clock news. And then at 10:35. Our audio sorbet segment, Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe is going to be here. We will talk all things sports. Speaking of
Badgers and the Packers and the Bucks and nothing that makes my stomach hurt.
Game three is tonight. The Brewers at the Dodgers. Our broadcast will start at 4:30. First pitch going out about 5:08. You can listen to the game, but you have to listen on terrestrial radio. So catch it on WISS in Oshkosh, WBZH in Hayward, and here in Racine and Kenosha on WRJN. Brewers at the Dodgers. Our broadcast will start at 4:30. Wanted to start off with this. Oh, just one real quick side note, and we're not going to delve into this much today, but that $20 billion we're loaning Argentina.
Yeah, we're helping our buddies.
Yeah, where it's up to $40 billion now.
Oh,
Oh, great. Where is that money coming from, Jane?
Taxpayers.
Oh.
We're going to hear next hour from all the Republicans saying, follow the money about the No Kings protest. Follow the money. Yeah. Who's paying for this? Where is this going? Some interesting things about this Argentine bailout. When you start looking at who benefits from this bailout, for example, Scott Bessent, who, by the way, worked for George Soros for a really long time.
Yeah.
Now part of the Trump administration, a good friend of Scott Bessent, Rob Citrone, owns Discovery Capital. They bought Argentine debt and equity in a whole bunch of companies tied to Argentina's overall economy. He made a bet that the economic policies under Milei would revitalize the economy. That hasn't happened. So this seems that's going to kind of help a couple people, I think. A couple of hedge fund guys who were buddies with Scott Bessent. But that's a little side note.
Why are we even surprised anymore?
Just sharing information. We wanted to start off with this. Kudos to Milwaukee Mitchell International Airport.
Yes.
Way to go. Milwaukee Mitchell Airport is not playing the video from Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, which blames the Democratic Party for the current government shutdown. Trump administration's message blaming Democrats for the government shutdown is not being played at Mitchell Airport. Airport officials say this is in part because of a local ordinance that prohibits political messaging.
Yeah.
It's also a violation of the Hatch Act, but that's a whole other thing. The video playing at some airports around the country shows Homeland Security Kristi Noem and her hair extensions addressing passengers about airport delays. It's TSA's, she says, top priority to make you have the most pleasant and efficient airport experience possible while keeping you safe. However, Democrats in Congress refused to fund the federal government. The message has gotten a lot of backlash from airports who will not play it, and also from passengers who are not happy. One passenger talking to WISN said, I don't think there should be a political statement for an airport to be broadcasting and showing.
Yes.
Another person said, I think the people in Washington need to stop making political statements and work together to solve this budget crisis and get things back to normal for people. By the way, just as a reminder, Republicans control all three branches of government.
Yeah.
They have the White House and the House and the Senate.
And the courts. And all three branches. All conservative.
Plus.
Yeah.
But they won't negotiate. They are refusing to negotiate. Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, said the other day, we have no strategy. I have no strategy. It's either Democrats capitulate or there's no deal.
And he continually blames Democrats. When they call it Schumer shutdown, I'm like, you guys, it's such a thin narrative. The only people who believe that are your sycophants. You are in charge. Get it. Pass it. Do it. Just make it happen.
It's called compromise.
Well, but no, Jane, they're in charge. It's called power. Exercise some power and do it. But you don't, because you can't. And by the way, day 15 of the shutdown, Congress hasn't been working for a while because Mike Johnson keeps
sending
them home.
They've been off for a month.
Over a month, 5 weeks. They're doing that not just because of anything other than the Epstein files, which, by the way, release them. And also, we have a sitting elect. We have an elected woman who should have taken the oath weeks ago, and they still haven't. And by the way, last week we talked about the fact that Mike Johnson said out loud in a microphone, well, whenever she wants to do it, we can do it, I guess. They're not going to do that now.
No. And yesterday he said, I believe, of course, on Fox, he said, bless her heart, talking about that lawmaker. She's from New Mexico, I believe.
I thought it was Arizona.
It could be Arizona. We'll figure it out. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I'm also curious how much this little video message cost, because as you recall, at the very beginning of the Trump administration, they had Kristi Noem film an ad to warn people who were here illegally that we're going to come after you. Remember that?
Yeah.
This is going back months, but this was in February of the second Trump administration. They spent $200 million on that, but they're very fiscally.
I could do something with my phone.
They're very fiscally conservative.
It's a Democrat, a democratically elected woman named Adelita Grijalva. Sorry, I pronounced that incorrectly. Grijalva. She is a Democrat from Arizona. She has been elected. She's waiting to be sworn in. And the big thing is that if she gets sworn in, most likely the Epstein files can be voted on to be released.
Yes.
Also, just as a quick aside to this whole video thing at the airport, when's the last time you actually paid attention to a television that didn't have your arrival or departure? The fact that they thought that this was a good idea, like, yeah, we'll tell them. Nobody cares.
But I think these are, and I'm trying to think when I've seen a TV when I'm actually standing in the TSA line. Mm-hmm. I don't remember one, at least not at O'Hare.
No.
Calvin, maybe.
I flew to Vegas in August. And that was obviously before the shutdown, so there was no chance of seeing this particular video. But I know both in Milwaukee, well, for sure Milwaukee, I don't remember what TSA was like in Vegas, but at least in Milwaukee, there were TVs broadcasting a message from Kristi Noem.
Oh, there were?
Yes.
So it's like when we were kids and the AV nerd would come in with the TV that was strapped down to the thing, and then we're like, all right, kids, we're going to watch a video because your teacher tied one on last night. This is so stupid. This is so incredibly stupid. And yeah, how much did this video cost?
I'm just curious. And because again, they're all about fiscal responsibility.
I mean,
855-752-4842. Bill from Oconomowoc is on the line. Good morning, Bill. Thanks for joining us. What do you want to say?
Good morning. I think the Democrats say we're going to stay shut down until Mike Johnson decides to get honest and talk about illegal or immigrants don't get health care. Because if we don't start with an honest platform in an open discussion to bring us, our country, back together, what's the point? Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it. Yeah, there's a lot of questions that I'd like to ask Mike Johnson, but his go-to response, like so many now, is, oh, I haven't seen that. Oh, I've been too busy. I didn't have a chance to read that.
They never see anything. I mean, it's
a remarkable, considering the access they have to information that most of us don't have. Mm-hmm. And yet they seem to be more poorly informed than regular people. That's kind of surprising.
Especially from the luminaries of their party, the higher up leadership of their party making statements on behalf of their offices and their party. When I worked in politics and I was a staffer for an elected mayor, I mean, one of my jobs was to make sure he saw all the things that were coming out of City Hall, all the things that were coming of note.
Right.
Statements coming from politicians.
You need to know this.
You need to be aware of this just in case anyone asks you. But now the acceptable answer is, I didn't see that.
I'm so busy.
I'm getting ready for the final season of Stranger Things, man. Do you think I'm going to listen to J.D. Vance? Please.
Again, my house members have only been off for a month. What do you think? They're fishing.
What are they, the Wisconsin legislation?
Nah, Cassandra on the live stream. So let me get this straight. My tax money can't pay for health care because that's socialism, but it can pay for propaganda at the airport.
You know what else, Cassandra?
Yes.
You know what else it can pay for? Billionaires.
Tax cuts for billionaires.
Tax cuts for billionaires.
They need them.
And all that not working they're doing too. Our tax money, the government shut down and they're still getting paid and they're not working.
Yeah.
So make that make absolute sense in my brain. This is the party of personal responsibility and bootstraps and you got to work and no handouts. Well, I'm handing my money directly to them while they're doing bupkis.
This might be a good time to call him.
How do I do that, Jane? I feel powerless right now.
You could go to myvote.wy.gov.
What a website.
Myvote.wy.gov. Go to that website, put in your address. Mm-hmm. It will bring up the contact information for all of your elected officials, Republicans and Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Phone numbers, addresses, useful contact information.
Yes.
You may want to call them and let them know that you want health care. You want them to. The ACA. And I don't know, we kind of like them to do their job.
I was going
to
say, let's start simple.
Small, so we just start small.
Just start working again.
Yeah, just do something. Thank you. when we return.
Thank you for listening to our TED Talk.
We're going to talk about energy cuts in Wisconsin. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Are National Guard troops generally trained in law enforcement? No. National Guard troops like those President Donald Trump deployed to American cities in recent months to crack down on crime are not generally trained in law enforcement. For example, police officers in Washington, D.C. receive 21 training modules in criminal procedure, but Guard members receive none. Their primary training is focused on crowd control. Milwaukee's police union president suggested troops should be sent to Wisconsin's largest city. Governor Tony Evers called National Guard troops the, quote, wrong people, unquote, for fighting crime. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck. Sweet Galby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Speaking of the live stream,
yeah,
we have Elise with a long...
Owadatu.
Lots of letters after that.
Did I get it right? Owadatu.
Hello, everyone. I'm from the Philippines. Good evening here. Good morning there. Good morning, Elise. Good evening, Elise. Thank you for listening on the Civic Media app.
There you go. Can I send a little shout out as well to my friend Ben, who is also on the live stream? Solid TED Talk. Ben is one of my closest, dearest friends. I've known him since we were in high school. So thank you, buddy, for listening.
Thanks, Ben.
We love seeing everybody, but when the friends and family are also watching and listening, that's really fun. So thank you, everyone who's catching us on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the place we still call Twitter.
Yes, we do. And download the Civic Media app.
Mm-hmm.
You can listen to us all around the world.
Yes, indeed.
You can listen to all of the stations all across the Civic Media network. If you want to, we have some great music stations.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get away from the news, and we all need a break every once in a while.
Oh, dear Lord, do I.
Yeah, but we've got great music stations. You can listen to all kinds of stuff. Check out the Civic Media app. It is
absolutely free.
There we go. Jim Santel is coming up after the 9:30 news, host of Amicus, a law review across Civic Media on Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. So stay tuned for that. Some big cases burbling through the courts, we'll say. This, though, Governor Evers from Wisconsin Examiner urging the Energy Department not to cut $1.5 billion in Wisconsin energy investments.
Yeah.
Governor Evers wants the Trump administration not to roll back previously awarded money in the face of rising energy costs.
Yes.
Despite what Donald Trump says, energy is not down.
Nope.
Energy prices are not coming down. Neither are groceries. Sorry. It's just reality. The governor's office put together a list of 22 projects which the energy department was going to fund and has now been marked for cancellation. Evers says federal support plays a critical role in advancing the Wisconsin idea and American innovation. Lowering energy bills for families across America is critical to maintaining our nation's leadership in science and technology. Letter also forecasts rising costs for electric power. Energy think tank Energy Innovation attributes to the tax and spending, the big blob of a bill that Donald Trump signed on July 4th. The governor says cutting this funding at a time of record high energy demand and rising costs is counterintuitive, reckless, and ill-advised.
Yep.
Don't disagree with that.
Yep. And, you know, the live stream is saying that the gas is down. Yes, the gas prices are down right now because of the season, as Mr. Global has told us during the season.
This happens every year.
But they're down $1.99, which is what the president keeps saying. He keeps saying the $1.99 gas prices. And I look on Gas Buddy all the time just to make sure, because I'd like to see if there's $1.99 gas.
Yeah.
But also, and we want to have him back. I don't want to speak on it too much because he can discuss it more. But there are dangers to actually oil being a very, very low price.
You get oil below $60 a barrel, and oil companies do not want to drill because they're not making any money.
Yeah, yeah. So there
it's
you
just
go.
Kind of the way.
I mean, we are closing down oil, the derricks and whatnot.
They're not drilling.
Yeah, they're not
because they're not drilling.
Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of gas, I paid cash yesterday. Lowest I could find was $2.49.
Yeah.
So it's not under
$2. It's not under $2.
And grocery prices also aren't down.
Oh, they are certainly not. I just bought groceries and they're very, very expensive.
Yeah. We'll see what happens with this.
Yeah. I mean,
again, with these cuts. And he's being very blatant now about saying that he wants to cut programs that that will help Democrats. Unfortunately, a lot of these programs, especially like energy programs and things like that, it doesn't discriminate and it doesn't affect you depending upon how you voted.
Yeah.
Kind of a blanket thing. If the costs go up, they're going to go up for all of us.
Yeah.
And not just Democrats.
Yeah. All people who, all folks, some will be able to afford it because they have a lot of money, especially the folks who are getting the money that we're giving them through the big bill for billionaires. But also the folks who didn't, the folks who did vote for him and the folks who don't like us and the folks who leave really dumb comments on live streams about us. But, you know, hey, that's a free country. And that's the problem is the sooner that we all wake up and say, oh, as a class, we're being screwed. That's when the real work begins. This is not about left and right. This is not about the color of your skin or what religion you go to church for. It's about the fact that when you make a certain amount of money from X to X, the people in power right now in D.C. see it as a very easy way to take our money and make it their money and tell us that they're doing it for the good of the country.
Oh, and by the way, because I'm sure, pretty sure none of us got an invitation to this. But while it's day, 15 of the shutdown?
Day 15 and
day
some change.
Day 15 of the shutdown. Tonight, Donald Trump is holding a fundraiser for his big, beautiful ballroom.
Oh, cool, man. Is it gold?
I think it's $1 million entry fee.
Shut up. You're lying.
No.
What? Oh, come on. Okay. All right. All right.
Because he's got to make his donors happy. And
I thought that was all paid for.
The big, beautiful ballroom?
I thought that was all like he secured. Oh, I got to look this up now. because this is amazing.
I know. Only we had gotten an invite.
Oh,
maybe
cool.
If we all chip in together and then we can all go.
It's a $200 million project that I'm sure we're not going to pay for.
Yeah, pretty much. News is coming up next. When we return, Jim Santel will be here, host of Amicus, a law review. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
From the center, WRCE.
107.7 WRCE. News from the center and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. The U.S. official telling ABC News that the military conducted an airstrike today targeting a suspected drug vessel in the Caribbean. And ABC News has learned the three B-52 heavy bombers flew for hours over the Caribbean, less than 90 miles from Venezuela. A federal grand jury has handed down an 18-count indictment against former National Security Advisor John Bolton, charges including unlawful transmission and retention of classified documents. Reaction in the Oval Office from President Trump.
I didn't know that. You told me for the first time, but I think he's, you know, a bad person. I think he's a bad guy. Yeah, he's a bad guy.
It follows the indictment of two other Trump rivals, New York Attorney General Letitia James and former FBI Director James Comey. The night before, Ukrainian President Zelensky returns for a meeting at the White House, President Trump on the phone with Vladimir Putin and announcing plans to meet up with the Russian president. This is ABC News.
The Brewers lose again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. Game 3 of the National League Championship Series is in the books. The Dodgers winning 3-1. LA's Tommy Edman hit a tie-breaking single off a hard-throwing rookie, Jacob Mizorowski, in a two-run sixth inning. And the Dodgers beat Milwaukee to take a 3-0 lead in their NL Championship Series. The Dodgers now move to within one win of becoming the first defending champion to reach the World Series since the 2009 Philadelphia Phillies. Game 4 is tomorrow in Los Angeles. Only one of the 41 teams that overcame a 3-0 postseason deficit was the 2004 Boston Red Sox against the Yankees, sparked by current Dodgers manager Dave Roberts. Things went from bad to worse for the Brewers in the seventh inning when Jackson Chourio, taking a big swing, re-injured his right hamstring and had to hop off the field. Blake Perkins took over at bat with already two strikes and striking out. With Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Diane Keaton's cause of death has been revealed. The actress passed away at the age of 79 on October 11th at her home in Los Angeles. According to Yahoo Entertainment, the actress's family says Keaton died of pneumonia. The Annie Hall star had had two battles with skin cancer in recent years and has also dealt with an eating disorder. Her daughter Dexter and son Duke said they were grateful for the support shown for their mother's passing. There were two great movies out this year that were totally original and unbelievably well executed in Sinners and One Battle After Another. Original movies can be done, but this is Hollywood, and according to Empire Online, there will be a new movie based on the Flintstones in space, also known as the Jetsons. Sigh. I guess the good news is Jim Carrey is being looked at for the part of George Jetson. Plenty of great filmmakers out there, but they're going back to a cartoon from 1962. Well done, Hollywood. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy and isolated shower or two tonight with lows in the mid-50s. Partly sunny tomorrow, a stray storm could pop up, highs in the upper 70s. Temperatures start to fall back for this weekend as we dry out. Right now it's 61.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dan Hagen, you were out hunting. How did that go?
This buck is eluding me, so I'm just trying new things. I bought designated hunting clothes that I'm going to wash with special detergent that has no scent on it.
People get into the scent, and there's all kinds of things people try to do. I don't know that the science is conclusive. Otherwise, everybody would have success every time. You got to try what you can try, right?
That's spending money for no real reason, probably, at the end of the day.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, I'm joined by former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. We review the week in the law, especially the federal court that just ruled that Trump can't fire thousands of federal workers. Who knew?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us every Thursday at this time. Host of Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings across the network from 9 to 11. Great show. I highly encourage you to check it out. Jim Santel is here. Good morning, Jim. How are you doing?
Jane, Greg, I'm doing well. I'm especially encouraged this morning because it turns out that the U.S. Postal Service misdirected your invitation to the ballroom fundraiser. I have it right here.
Yes.
And unfortunately, it only contemplates four guests. So among the five of us, including Calvin, one of us has to apparently drop out without apparently a $1 million donation.
Oh.
So that's the important news I've got to convey for you this morning.
Well, we'll fight this out after the show is over, Jim, and decide
you're all going down.
Who gets to go tonight to the big fundraiser for the big, beautiful ballroom? Let's talk about what's going on with the Supreme Court. We'll start there.
Yes.
And what remains of the vote, the 1965 Voting Rights Act, right, is kind of in the balance here.
It is in the balance. It may even be on the chopping block, which is stunning, shocking, and horrifying in many, many ways. A little bit of history, as we have talked before. Supreme Court has taken shots at the Voting Rights Act. There was a case called Shelby County. Remember this involving Eric Holder during my term as U.S. attorney. And the Supreme Court basically said it can't enforce preclearance for those jurisdictions that have had a history of discrimination in voting. So sections 4 and 5 are gone. More recently, in a case called Brnovich coming out of Arizona, the Supreme Court said, your standards for proving voting rights violations are very, very high in terms of standards. So that also took a shot. So you've got Shelby County, Brnovich, and now the new case for all your listeners to write down and know about. The name of the case is Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S. Comes out of Louisiana. It once again is a redistricting case. It involves line drawing there. And this time we're back to Section 2. Section 2, Voting Rights Act, is that core provision. You start the law with this very notion that people should have access to votes and the franchise should not be compromised, especially for people of color, people who do not have English language as a first language, issues about poll taxes and exams, those kinds of things, establishes the fundamental notion, as you just said, Jane, for 60 years in America that assured access to the polls for all people. And the Supreme Court now may be taking a big swing at this, following up on its oral argument yesterday.
I remember when 4 and 5 were tossed out, that made huge news years ago. And one thing that supporters of this, the Voting Rights Act going away, their defense is, well, we've come so far in America.
Yes,
we've come so far. We've done so much.
We don't need this anymore.
Racism is gone.
Right.
We elected a black guy in a tan suit. What could go wrong?
Right.
So I feel like when people stand on that ground of we've come so far, it's not difficult to make the discussion, but it's easy for people to say, well, of course we have. So we probably don't need it. But Jim, tell us why we still need it and what you as a lawyer could see happening if it went away.
Right. Two things. One is that it is huge if it were to go away. Not only can the government bring lawsuits to enforce voting rights fundamentally, the government does, but the reality is that the great majority of voting rights cases have been brought by individuals and groups. And we rely upon that to happen every single day, every single week in America. To that very important issue, which, yes, we should talk in just a moment about what Brett Kavanaugh said yesterday.
Great.
Let's first remember what a woman named Ruth Bader Ginsburg said about this very issue at the time at Shelby County. She said it's like being out in a rainstorm and taking down your umbrella because you're no longer getting wet. Isn't that wonderful? That was in her dissent in Shelby County. And the notion is, of course you're not getting wet because you've got the umbrella up. Mm-hmm. Of course we have had some improvements, not complete in America. We should be proud of those, embrace those, more to do. But we are not outside of the rainstorm. And this notion of taking down the umbrella when we still have, especially now in 2025, great concerns about, increased concerns about voting in America and racial discrimination. Now, Ruth Bader Ginsburg's words are more important than ever, especially when you do have a revisiting of that very issue, Greg and Jane, yesterday. It's Brett Kavanaugh. And if I may take some time, it's important to read it out loud. He says, you know, this court's case is exactly what you just said, Greg. This court's case is not that you are in the camp with Brett Kavanaugh. I'm not indicating that. But he says this court's case, a variety of contexts have said that race-based remedies are permissible for a period of time, sometimes for a long period of time, decades, but they should not be indefinite and should have an end point, he says, and then goes on to raise this question. What exactly do you think the end point should be? Or how would we know for the intentional use of race to create districts? And again, when is this all going to come to an end? Haven't we gone and done enough? Haven't we gone far enough? And if that is the articulation of Brett Kavanaugh, it certainly is probably the continuing view of the Chief Justice. And then you've got 6-3. And what you've got there is a decision, probably, we're not sure, we'll find out in June, to basically rule that the second portion of a Chapter 2, Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, no longer constitutional. Why? Because it's violative of the 14th and 15th Amendments. It's contrary now because of the passage of time to the basic tenets in our amendments to the Constitution. A stunning argument yesterday and foretells an awful lot about what the Supreme Court might do come in June or so.
If you're just joining us on Matt and Air on Air, Jim Santel is our guest, host of Amicus, a law review Saturday mornings 9 to 11 across Civic Media. Jim, just to remind folks, and correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the things the Voting Rights Act did was to prevent, say, Georgia, for example. Yes. And Georgia implements changes to polling places. And Georgia decides to only keep two polling places open, none of them in black communities. And that is what the Voting Rights Act was intended to prevent.
Right.
It's all about access. It's about being able to have access to vote. It's about it's about certain areas intentionally underfunding staffing at polling places that might be in more minority areas, correct?
Absolutely. And what happens, of course, is people identify those things. Not only, as you said, that's the big one, closing down polling spots, limiting hours, for example, that's another way to inhibit voting, right? Doing all kinds of things. They're at least bright enough not to do poll taxes anymore. That's too overt.
For now.
But you do these other, right? Exactly. For now, right? And that's exactly it. So what happens is that you identify that. They're published publicly. And groups sometimes in a former Department of Justice, a former universe, the Department of Justice would have looked at that and said, no, not only will that not pass muster, we're going to file a lawsuit to prevent that from happening. And you'd go into court. And for the most part, judges across the political spectrum, federal judges would look at this and say, yes, this is exactly what the Voting Rights Act is intended to address. We're going to prevent you from doing that. Reopen those spots, put the hours back in place. Do not put up impediments. And again, with some success, not universal, but some success, that's what has been accomplished. This pre-clearance thing we talked about would also have been an option. No longer for many, many years now. But the notion that if whether it's in Alabama or New York or California or Texas, you're changing the rules in such a way that plainly people of color and other people with immutable characteristics cannot vote, they had to be cleared. And that was in the legislation. That was not by some attorney general who said, I want to review all this. It was in the legislation that said the Department of Justice has to give the imprimatur the okay for those changes. John Roberts said, nope, time has come. We're no longer in 1965. No longer do we need to do that. Now we can put people on their own. We're going to trust them. This is now the latest invocation of that notion that we are in a different world than we were in 1965. And for that reason, the law no longer needs to enforce voting rights.
Well, I want to go back to something you mentioned with regard to Brett Kavanaugh saying,
yes,
for how long is it to last? For how long do we need to do this? And I that's a very, very valid question. And Jane, actually, there's a great example of in 2020 in Milwaukee for the spring election, they brought it down to 5 polling places in the, for everyone to vote in Milwaukee, 5.
And people waited for hours.
People still voted. It was an extraordinary circumstance, but people still did it. And I feel like the GOP and Madison thought they were getting away with something, but they didn't. People drove and voted. But back to the Brett Kavanaugh question of when will this end? And I say to all of you, I think that it should end when we have a nice long period of states not proposing laws restricting voting based on various aspects, whether it's voter ID, whether it's your paperwork in order, whether it's your name. And that's not happening because according to the Brennan Center of Justice from January 1, 2021 to mid-September 2024, this is according to their website, 78 restrictive voting laws in at least 30 states were proposed and or passed. And 33 election interference laws were proposed or passed in 15 states. So I personally, I'm not Brett Kavanaugh. I don't like beer that much. But I would say if you want to gut and or get rid of the Voting Rights Act, there should be a set time, 10, 15, 20 years, where we say, all right, there has been no problem with voting.
We're going to behave.
There's been behavior. There's been no problems. Everyone seems happy. Everyone can get to their voting. Okay, let's look at it. But that's not the case right now. Because after Joe Biden won, that's right, he won. After he won in 2020, GOP-run state houses across the country were doing everything they could to put together bills that would intimidate and suffocate voting rights.
Well, and make it more hard and make it more difficult. Just make it more difficult to vote.
Absolutely. Even again, not to once again invoke history, but even after they got rid of 4 and 5, the pre-clearance, within hours, Greg and Jane, hours, there were legislatures that said, ooh, now we're free. Now we can go ahead. Nobody in Washington, D.C. will stop us. Let's start implementing those rules. This is literally, once again, the umbrella analogy. This is children no longer having the restrictions on them to make them behave, to use your very, very good word. We've also seen, of course, this is a part of a broader aspect of this. Recall, we talked about it on this very show well over a year or so ago. Remember the academic cases involving North Carolina and Harvard, where the Supreme Court said, you know what, you cannot consider race as a factor in admissions. It could be, again, you could do many, many things, but race should not be a factor. There again, the notion that we don't need to focus on race as an issue because what?
In the 21st century, it's all been fixed. Yeah.
It's been fixed.
It's all been fixed.
Admissions now are good and everything is okay. This is a theme that we are seeing in voting and admissions. And unfortunately, at least six members of the Supreme Court seem to be embracing that notion about what America is today.
Clinton Judy on the live stream says human nature hasn't changed all that much since 1965. The motives and proclivities to subvert voting processes still exist.
Well said.
Yes, well said. When we return, a judge talking to one of the Trump attorneys said, geez, did you even read this case?
No.
All the details on the other side. Stay close. This is Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It should not be a partisan question as to how the National Guard is being deployed. That should be extremely concerning to Republicans of good faith right alongside Democrats. If you scrub it of the partisanship, the facts are not disputable. You have flouting of court orders and a political use of the National Guard, two things which no American should ever be okay with.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Don't often agree with Marjorie Taylor Greene. They asked her about Congress being shut down and how it related to the Epstein files.
Why drag this out? That is going to have 218 signatures. I say go ahead and do it and get it over with.
Trigby, she's not necessarily my cup of tea, but she reads tea leaves. I think her moving to where she's at says that when that vote happens, there are going to be a major dam break, and it's a problem.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Milwaukee Brewers radio broadcasts give you reasons to get excited, keep you informed, and provide a great laugh. It's awesome listening on WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450 Richland Center.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our resident young person on the board. Calvin, by the way, coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. Join us at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Game three is tonight. Brewers at the Dodgers. Our broadcast will start at 4:30. First pitch going out about 5:08. You cannot listen to the game on the stream, but you can listen on terrestrial radio. So catch the game. Again, our broadcast starting at 4:30 on WCQM in Park Falls, on WBZH in beautiful Hayward, and here in Racine and Kenosha on WRJN. Crew at the Dodgers, 4:30 start here with our broadcast, and then the first pitch going out about 5:08. Jim Santel, our friend, colleague, host of Amicus, the Law Review Saturday mornings across the network from 9 to 11, joins us on Thursdays at this time. Jim, with the time we had left, I wanted to talk about this briefly because all the best people. Donald Trump has always said he surrounds himself with nothing but all the best people. It sure seems like some of these people are DEI hires. I'm just guessing. Yesterday, The Justice Department appeared in court after Trump and his administration fired thousands of federal workers, Trump publicly threatening Democrats, saying if they don't end the government shutdown, he will continue with more layoffs. U.S. District Judge Susan Ilston heard the case on the firings. It was requested by public sector unions. She put a temporary hold on that, which she did. She then asked for a defense of the government's actions they were not prepared to answer. This is a quote. The federal employees are being fired, and you're not even prepared to address whether that's legal. Trump's DOJ lawyer responded with, that's correct.
I didn't realize there'd be a quiz.
You mean yes. I have to have read the case and know my arguments when I come in front of it? What is that, Jim?
This is back to Hillary Clinton, who talked about being prepared, right? My goodness, who would expect that, right? I will tell you, if I can turn all three of you into my therapist for just a moment, this is one of my two nightmares. One of them, Jane, you and I share this, as does Greg, being on stage and not knowing what play you're in, what lines you're supposed to speak, yes. And you're a disaster, right, yes. In front of people.
Yes.
This is the other one that I have. It's closer to home, and I wake up in a sweat, which is I'm in court. The judge says, Mr. Santel, go ahead, call your first witness. And I've got no idea what the case is about. The difference in my therapy that I'm pursuing with you this morning, and this is real. This happened yesterday in district court. And the attorney from your Justice Department, they're being paid by us, their tax dollars, not only unprepared, but also apparently asking questions of the judge about what forum this should be in, what court should I be in. And the judge, Susan Ilston, looks at this attorney and says, as you just accurately quoted, what is going on here? You're not prepared. This is once again, frankly, our only salvation when it comes to the evil that the Department of Justice is doing, that they're also so stunningly incompetent. We saw this with the U.S. attorney in Eastern Virginia producing a couple of versions of the indictment of James Comey, plainly fumbling this terribly, right?
And then she said she never read it, right?
Right. I've never read that.
She signed it.
Right. It is incompetence with a capital I and N and C and so forth. And it should be. Again, we can make fun of it, and we should. But people should understand how serious this is. These are the representatives of us. Again, I know not substantively right now, and many things about the Department of Justice I do not recognize anymore from administrations, Republican and Democratic, both in the past. But the reality is that we need to expect a basic standard of competence, and it is not here. Especially, again, why is this case so important? You got it just right, Jane and Greg, that this is about people's jobs and whether or not the president's decision to usurp this notion of not having a budget, it's related but not connected to the notion of firing people. And that's what Susan Ilston says. She says, you know, we got this budget more than hiccup going on, but why are we firing people? We've got no money. We've got no budget. That's outrageous. But the two are not connected. Knock it off. And so she enjoins it. That's the good news, even though the government is not prepared to do it. But how often does this happen? We've got assistant United States attorneys appearing in front of a judge on those other children who were being deported not too long ago and saying that parents wanted them back. Turns out they weren't prepared for that either. That's a lie. This goes on, and everyone should be outraged, horrified that that's the level of representation being made. The only good thing about it is the incompetence also produces maybe judges making the right decisions. They're doing it on their own, on the merits, but still stunning, stunning reporting substantively and procedurally coming out of California just yesterday.
Jim, is there an online forum for attorneys where you go mock other attorneys? Right. Because I think you should start one.
Right. Right. And the answer is there's a bar meeting tonight I'm going to in Milwaukee, and we will sit around and we will talk about these things. Unfortunately, it's not going to be on the broadcast on civic media. Maybe it should be, but we do. And we sit around and we say things like, did you hear what happened today? And all of us are horrified by these kinds of things. Again, not only in terms of the substance, nobody competent. Why do these people have these jobs? The answer is all the departures of the good people, the competent people, the expertise, they've left. And now you're hiring people who don't know what they're doing.
We have a
Save
government.
America 2025.
We have a government full of our least qualified cousins. Jim Santel joins us every Thursday to kick around all things legal. Join him Saturday mornings 9 to 11 across the network for Amicus Law Review. Thank you so much, my friend. We'll see you next week.
Always a joy, my friends.
News coming up next when we return, Unicorns for Democracy.
Oh, baby.
Ooh, some people are very upset. That's all on the way. Stay close. This is Matt Nair on Air on this Civic Media. Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. President Trump's former national security advisor, John Bolton, indicted by a federal grand jury. 18 federal charges, including unlawful transmission and retention of national defense information. ABC News legal analyst Brian Buckmeyer read through the indictment.
What stuck out to me is all of the avenues in which the prosecutor in this case is nullifying how John Bolton can say, I didn't know. There are multiple arguments here that the prosecutor is making that shows that he had knowledge and willfully committed this act. I think kind of cutting off any avenue for an argument.
Hamas says returning the bodies of remaining hostages held in Gaza may take some time, saying they're buried in tunnels that were destroyed by Israeli military action. A federal judge in Illinois imposing new restrictions on federal agents carrying out immigration raids in and around Chicago. The judge saying she's deeply concerned with apparent violations of her earlier order restricting the use of force and riot control weapons. Now wants officers to turn on their body cams. This is ABC News.